Today on Jay Sekulow Live, here's a message you can get behind. Defund Planned Parenthood, not the police. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, I think this is a message we can all get behind, especially those of you who support the American Center for Law and Justice. I put it out on social media over the last couple days, and thousands of you retweeted it and shared it. And I saw the message first from former Ambassador Bill Hagerty. He's running for U.S. Senate in Tennessee. He's been on our broadcast before and on other shows I've guest hosted before. He'll be joining us in the next segment because he posted the message, defund Planned Parenthood, not our police. Do you agree with that? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What we do know in an ABC poll, the vast majority of Americans, surprise, surprise, do not support defunding the police. Not a good message for liberals or Democrats. And even though Joe Biden's trying to run away from it, his base is going to try to push him towards it in some form of it. Nearly two-thirds of Americans oppose calls for defunding police departments. Than, I just want your initial reaction to that statistic alone. When the media is pushing it on us, and they're saying, well, it's about divesting from the police and not providing them as many resources and taking away their funding. And Americans are actually saying, we want better funded police, better paid police, better trained police.
Yeah, Americans know better than this, Jordan. I mean, the American people might want reform. They might want equal justice, as they should. But they understand that the vast majority of law enforcement is there for their own benefit. And they understand that doing away with law enforcement altogether would not only hurt everyone, Jordan, but it would disproportionately impact the most vulnerable among us. I actually like the parallel here with Planned Parenthood. We can get into some of these numbers. But, you know, Planned Parenthood is engaged in targeting minority communities. Those who would be most impacted by a disbanding, a dismantling of police departments would be those in minority communities. Jordan, it's not just white Americans that think that way. It is black Americans as well. Look, this is something, its idea has not come. And Jordan, it's never going to come.
It's interesting. You know, in Planned Parenthood's annual reports they put out, they deceptively claim that abortions are just a small part of what they do as a business and an organization. But they set a record for the most abortions committed in a single year in their most recent report from 2018 to 2019, their yearly report. The latest report, it shows that abortions increased 12,915 to a staggering 345,672 abortions in a single year. That's up 3.9%. Now, they try to note that abortion overall is down in the United States, but Planned Parenthood is doing more abortions than ever before in history. And you want to hear something interesting, too? Compared with 29 per 1,000 for Hispanic women and 40 per 1,000 for non-Hispanic black women, that is in 2008, the abortion rate for non-Hispanic white women was 12 abortions per 1,000 reproductive age women. Let me put that more clearly for you. Straight from their own reporting service, Planned Parenthood provides something. It's called the Guttmacher Institute, and it's an abortion research institute. It's pro-abortion, but they put the facts out. They said this in 2008, a direct quote. This much is true. In the United States, the abortion rate for black women is almost five times that for white women. Think about in New York City. According to a city health department report released in May, between 2012 and 2016, black mothers terminated 136,426 pregnancies and gave birth to 118,000 babies. That means more black babies were aborted in New York City than born. So let's defund Planned Parenthood, not our police. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Stamp speed with everything we're working on, especially on the life issue at ACLJ.org. We come back. Former Ambassador Bill Hagerty, running for U.S. Senate in Tennessee, will be joining us live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. You know, I wanted to do this show because a candidate I'm following closely, Bill Hagerty, who's running for U.S. Senate in Tennessee's former ambassador to Japan, who was nominated and by President Trump. He's been endorsed by President Trump, as well as many members of the Trump family and other well-known members of Congress, good conservatives that you know as listeners to this broadcast. And I saw he posted on his social media that, you know, hey, instead of this defund the police talk that we're all hearing about, which now we see that two-thirds of the country thinks that's just absurd. I mean, it's fine for me for if the Democrats want to run on that message. It seems like Joe Biden's trying to run away from it or have it both ways. But again, instead of talking about that, why don't we say this? Defund Planned Parenthood, not our police. And former Ambassador Hagerty's joining us now. Bill, thanks for being with us. You wrote this message on your social media, and I started talking about it with our team here. I started sharing it, and I said, I want to do an entire broadcast on this because the numbers just don't lie when you actually look at the number of children killed by abortion, and specifically a time when we're talking about police reform in a good way, and that horrendous what happened to George Floyd in a good way, and it seems like the riots are now over. But Bill, it's also important to point out, like I told our audience, and just so you hear it too, that from the Guttmacher Institute, which is Planned Parenthood's research arm, official arm, they reported that in the United States, the abortion rate for black women is almost five times that for white women. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, Jordan, it's great to be back with you. And before we get into it, I just want to say how disturbed I've been by what we've seen on TV every night with this lawlessness. You know, when President Trump endorsed me for the United States Senate, the very first point he made in his endorsement was that Bill Hagerty is going to be strong on law enforcement, and I'm going to stand with him to be strong on law enforcement. Our nation is based on the rule of law. And this lawlessness that we've seen unfold around the nation, I mean, look at Seattle and what's going on there. It's unimaginable that you've got local Democratic leaders encouraging this type of chaos. It's unbelievable that we see this happening in the streets of America today. And I stand with the president. We've got to bring this to an end. This is not the message that I think any voters in Tennessee want to see or care about. We need to bring back law and order to America. And it is it's just a tragedy what's going on. I was very pleased earlier this week Tom Cotton endorsed me. There's another member of the Senate that is very strong on law enforcement. I'm very pleased to have Tom Cotton's endorsement. as well. And I just KT McFarland, the former deputy national security advisor, just tweeted out her support just this morning. I think what these folks are seeing is that we need now more than ever a strong leader that's got the strength and the courage and the commitment to stand up and call this what it is. This is lawlessness. Yep. I respect the First Amendment right to protest peacefully, but I have, you know, zero tolerance for the type of behavior that we're seeing unfold on television. I have such a deep respect for law enforcement. You know, my wife, Chrissy Jordan, her older brother is a career law enforcement officer. And I was just talking with him. I mean, he puts on a uniform every day. He doesn't know if he's going to come home at night.
Yeah.
We have to respect our friends, our family members, the law enforcement officers that are protecting us every day. They are the only thing that stands between anarchy and our families. And this talk about dismantling and defunding the police, it's absolute absurdity. I was shocked when you mentioned that there's still a third of America that thinks that's a good idea. I think there should be 0% of Americans think that's a good idea. It's crazy.
I know, I can't even imagine what our cities, I mean, we all got a taste of it. We all got a taste of it. And we're talking to former Ambassador Bill Hagerty, who's running for U.S. Senate in Tennessee. If you want to find out more about his campaign, it's Team Hagerty, HAGERTY.com, Team Hagerty. .com, running for U.S. Senate, former ambassador to Japan. He was nominated by President Trump. He's been endorsed by President Trump. And, I was shocked. I know you live in Nashville, and it's not usually a city you think of for riots. And that night when the City Hall, which is kind of the ceremonial courthouse in City Hall, was set on fire, and I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, the folks here may not know it, but I've been watching national news long enough to realize who these Antifa type groups are that are operating right now in Seattle and have their own, you know, camp basically that they've taken over half the city. And the president's talked about going in there and removing that, but that even Nashville started burning. I mean, it was pretty shocking. And I'm someone who's we've defended at the ACLJ bill. We've defended civil disobedience. That's not violence. That's that's like kind of like civil rights, civil disobedience, very different than when you start rioting and burning down. But that sent shockwaves through, I think, so many of us, regardless if you were in New York or Seattle or Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, indeed. It's just a shame. They've hijacked the First Amendment right to protest. These criminals, these thugs, these anarchists have come in. You know, in Nashville, the people that were arrested were from out of state. They're folks from Portland, Oregon, from Pittsburgh. I mean, there is an organized activity here that really has hijacked our First Amendment right to protest. They don't care about that. They care about anarchy. That's what they're trying to deliver. And this CHAZ operation in Seattle, again, is just beyond comprehension. They are, what do they call themselves? The Capitol Hill Anarchist Zone, where they've stolen, cyclone fencing and built a wall there. You know, the Democrats are against building a wall at our border to secure it, but they're more than happy to accommodate these anarchists who want to build a wall around their 6-block radius there. And, they are just unbelievable. In fact, I've heard that CHAZ is coming to the Legislative Plaza in Nashville tomorrow. I mean, this is a movement.
Yeah. And it never quite comes to an end. It's like we have these moments where it quiets down, or for the most part, it may be happening in a few cities here and there. And then it comes back to your neighborhood. Than, I know you have a question for former Ambassador Hagerty, too.
Yeah, Ambassador Hagerty, appreciate you being with us so much. I had a two-part question for you. First of all, I was wondering what you're hearing directly from Tennessee residents on the issue of defunding the police. My family and I live in suburban D.C. and live in a very diverse neighborhood, both politically and racially. And as we've had conversations across those lines on this issue, what we're finding is that defunding the police just does not have the support across those lines. And I'm wondering if you're finding the same thing in Tennessee. And then secondly, I wondered if you could comment about this connection to the life issues. We have the conversation on the life issue and the disproportionate targeting of minority communities with those same friends and neighbors. What we find is that they do know that the abortion industry is targeting the minority community, and the disconnect between some of these proposals is pretty stark when we talk to them. Do you find that kind of understanding with the residents of Tennessee, and have you had those conversations?
Listen, I've been out every day having these conversations, and Tennesseans do not want to see this sort of anarchy. They stand with our police and law enforcement, and the notion of defunding the police is not well received nor accepted here anywhere in Tennessee. I mean, there may be a few pockets in some of the larger cities, but again, that's more of a movement, more of an anarchist type of thing. But across Tennessee, uniformly what I'm hearing is support for our police, and frankly, a greater concern than ever that we've got to support and sustain our police. The exact opposite of these cries that we're hearing coming out of these, you know, Democrat strongholds that suggest that we ought to dismantle and defund them. And I've made it a point to go and meet with law enforcement officers just to make sure they know that I've got their back. I'm 120% behind them, and I'm in their corner. Again, back to the president's endorsement of me for the United States Senate, the very first point he made is his confidence that I will stand with him and stand strong on law enforcement. That's what Tennesseans believe in. That's what Tennesseans want. And I have a feeling that's a vast majority of the country feels the same way. And they certainly would rather see defunding an organization like Planned Parenthood than they would defunding our police officers. As I mentioned, they're the only ones that stand between anarchy and our families. And the president, his endorsement, I think, means a great deal here in Tennessee, because Tennesseans know I'm going to stand with him on our conservative principle values. And life is one of those. I was very pleased to have received Susan B. Anthony List endorsement just last week.
Great organization.
They're on the front lines. Yeah, they are on the front lines fighting for life. And they're going to have a strong ally in me in the United States Senate. We have got to stand up for life as well. Go ahead.
Let me just say, because we've got about a minute left, I want to give you a little bit of time just to close to kind of, if you were, you're talking to the whole country, but also for people that, and again, the U.S. Senate, it matters to everybody, even if you're outside of Tennessee, but especially if you are listening in Tennessee, learn more about Bill Hagerty. It's again, teamhagerty.com. This idea, as you're traveling around Tennessee, you know, what would be your top priorities when you get to the U.S. Senate, so that people out there who are making their minds up about who to support in the primary here, when they're making their mind up, what would your top priorities be? And by the way, if I don't have time because we start running out of time, thank you for being so bold in your statements, like defund Planned Parenthood instead of the police. Bill,
well,
Yep.
Thank you, Jordan. And people in Tennessee want to see a candidate. They want to see their next U.S. Senator, someone that's going to stand with President Trump. And I'm the only candidate that has President Trump's endorsement. In fact, I'm the only person he's put on the task force to get our economy turned around. That's the second most important thing to Tennesseans, is getting our economy going again. These protests are hurting us in that regard. We need to get back to work. Tennesseans want to get back to work. For every one person that's been affected by the virus, we've had 33 Tennesseans that are either out of work, had their hours reduced, or they've lost their job.
So, folks, go to teamhagerty.com. Bill Hagerty, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today aclj.org.
Folks, I just want everybody out there to know who is listening to the broadcast, too, that you know, we've had Ambassador Hagerty on before, not as in his role as running for Senate, but of course we're getting closer and closer to the campaign, and we're going to make sure, just because he's running in Tennessee, that we're reaching out to the top candidates, both parties, as well. If they want to be on Jay Sekulow Live, they'll have that same opportunity and outreach. But I wanted to have him on, not because we've had him on in the past before, because he's an expert on economics, a former ambassador to Japan. So we were talking about when we were talking about North Korea. I've had him on when I guest hosted Sean Hannity's radio broadcast, because of his expertise on so many areas, especially on foreign policy, and that he's part of the president's, as he said, economic advisory council. I mean, that's very important right now when we're trying to come out of COVID-19. We've got this kind of up and down stock market, up and the concern about this coming back of COVID-19. So I just want to let you know, we don't endorse candidates on this broadcast. And we make sure that when it gets closer to election times, if we have someone on who is running, that we make that offer available. Doesn't mean they'll definitely take the offer, but we make that offer available, and we'll treat them with the same way and same respect and give out the same information for them. But it was great to have Bill Hagerty joining us, and that's teamhagerty.com. And really why we have this theme today is because I saw him post it, and I said, this is a great message because it underscores so much of what we need to talk about, and what it, when it comes to these defunding issues and this defund the police. Well, how about, like he said, and I've put out, and it's title of the show today, and I encourage you to share this hashtag far and wide: defund Planned Parenthood, not the police. And I want to go right to Harry Hutchinson. Harry, we went through some of the facts just briefly with Ambassador Hagerty, with Bill Hagerty, when we were talking to Than, with our audience. We're taking phone calls about it, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, the fact that in New York City, Harry, in New York City, according to the city health department, between 2012 and 2016, black mothers terminated 136,000 pregnancies. They gave birth to 118,000 babies. By contrast, births far surpassed abortions amongst whites, Asians, and Hispanics. Think about that fact, that there are more black babies being aborted in New York City than there are born, Harry.
Absolutely. So given this history and given current facts, as one writer has said, it has never been a more dangerous time to be a black baby in America. While overall rates of abortion have declined to their lowest level since 1974, the Guttmacher Institute reported in 2008 that there are an alarming increase in racial disparities between the rates of abortion for black and white women. So if you analyze 30 years of data, you will find that the rate of abortions for black women are now five times greater than white women. But this has, unfortunately, both a history and a contemporary parallel, best seen last year in the state of Virginia. Soon after what might be called the demonic celebration began over New York's highly controversial decisions to make abortions more widely available, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam commented on Virginia's proposed bill to go down the same sad pathway. Effectively, he supported euthanasia as a substitute for abortion by admitting that if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that what the mother and the family desired. Then discussions would ensue, essentially, whether to allow the baby, who is now alive and outside of the womb, to remain alive. This is appalling, but it also ties back to Virginia's history with eugenics. It ties back to Margaret Sanger. And it also ties back to the fact that 79% of Planned Parenthood facilities are placed within walking distance of minority communities.
I mean, think about that. Think about that. 75% of Planned Parenthood facilities, and by the way, you can drive around and see it for yourself, are placed within walking distance. I mean, Harry, you think they're targeting a specific community when the CDC reports that non-Hispanic black women accounted for the largest percentage of all abortions at 38%, while non-Hispanic white women had the lowest abortion rate of 6.6 average abortions per 1,000 women. It is just shocking how overt they are. I mean, they still give out, we're going to talk to C.C. Howell about this in the next half hour, they still give out, Harry, a Margaret Sanger Award. She's a eugenicist. She was a eugenicist who used to go around the country speaking at KKK events. And yet the same group who's saying defund the police would be totally opposed to us defunding Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. And so it's impossible to fully understand Planned Parenthood without understanding the history, without understanding Margaret Sanger and her attempt to at least eliminate, if not exterminate, black and perhaps brown people. And I think the story is best encapsulated in a Supreme Court case that was decided in the latter part of the 1920s, the Buck versus Bell case. Basically, that case shows that the power of contempt issuing forth from the pursuit of human engineered perfectionism has deadly results. In that particular case, the state of Virginia decided to take the reproductive capacity of Carrie Buck away from her. And then this move spread like wildfire to other states, including North Carolina and many other states in the United States. So the problem is, believers in what might be called social Darwinism foresaw the future as an inevitable one determined by the laws of heredity. On the other hand, they worried whether this inevitable outcome of history that they foresaw could come about without their intervention. And so Margaret Sanger, Carrie Buck's story, and what happened in the 1920s, the 1930s, and what is now happening today under the control of progressive politicians is aimed at one thing, ensuring that Black Lives Matter unless they're on an abortion table.
Folks, we've got a lot more coming ahead. We're going to start taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchinson will stay with us. Dan Bennett will stay with us. C.C. Howell will be joining us as well. We'll be taking your phone calls and your comments. Get your calls in now, 1-800-684-3110. And let me encourage you, remember yesterday's broadcast, that huge victory, and that state representative, John Echols, who said, "Thank you, ACLJ. Without you, we would not have that pro-life legislation and that pro-life victory in Oklahoma." Well, folks, I can say to you, without you, the ACLJ attorneys wouldn't have been out in Oklahoma doing that work for that pro-life victory. Because it's because of your financial support, because of your donations to the ACLJ, that we're able to do the job that we do here in the U.S. and around the world. Support the American Center for Law and Justice right now. If you can, donate online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So, if you're just joining us, and by the way, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family. Let's bring more people into this discussion. It's not one they're going to be seeing on TV right now. They're going to hear plenty about defunding the police. But what they're not going to hear is the juxtaposition of, hey, instead of defunding the police, why don't we talk about defunding Planned Parenthood, not our police? And in fact, President Trump is preparing an executive order right now that I think should have a lot of widespread support amongst the African-American community and those who want to see police reform. It just won't be very popular with people that want to absolutely abolish the police. So this executive order is going to call for reforms and training. But I want to go to Harry Hutchins this first, because, Harry, this is interesting. In this executive order that the president's going to sign, which I think is a sign that what happened to George Floyd and what we've seen throughout these horrendous incidents, what we've called murder on our broadcast, that there has to be new training for police and new resources, and suddenly and probably instead of defunding the police, more resources to the police. But of course, you don't just throw money at the problem, you train them. And within this executive order, I thought it was interesting, Harry, that it's going to allow a pilot program in some communities to partner up social workers with police officers to develop better relationships with the community. I think out of what we have seen with this police brutality and the murder of George Floyd, that is a great effort and a great decision to make, to try something like that, not implement it nationwide, but as a pilot program, Harry, and see if it works, see if that helps, and then kind of spread it out. And that's really what I think the legitimate protesters are looking for, is real reform like that and new ideas. And who's got them? It's President Trump, surprise, surprise. Interesting enough, Harry.
I think you're right. I think, for instance, if you look at the George Floyd incident carefully, you should note first and foremost that Derek Chauvin was a trainer in police techniques in the Minneapolis police force. Imagine that. A guy that basically put a knee on an individual for almost 9 minutes. So it's important to note that there are new ideas out there. Camden, New Jersey has begun to adopt them. I'm sure the president will adopt many of these ideas. They include de-escalation techniques. They also include proper training. That is essential if we want to move forward. But defunding the police is precisely the wrong idea, and it puts essentially a target on the back of many African-American Americans and brown Americans in the United States. So it's precisely the wrong idea. And Democrats are fond of claiming that they are on the right side of history. I would submit that defunding the police would place them clearly on the wrong side.
I do want to let you know as well, folks, the Judge Sullivan in the Flynn case, you know, he's up before as, I guess, the client in the Court of Appeals, D.C., the Federal Court of Appeals in D.C., the oral argument has concluded. We'll play a little bit for you later on in the broadcast, so we're not forgetting that either. But I wanted to wait till my dad could be back with us, and he'll be back with us on Monday, to go through the entire oral argument and the case. But we'll play some of that for you as well later in the broadcast. C.C. Howe will be joining us. We come back from this break, we're going to start taking your phone calls. And let me just encourage you. We talk about the pro-life victories. We talk about, you know, the defunding of Planned Parenthood that was done via Title X that we supported and helped push through with the Trump administration. We talked about the victory yesterday in Oklahoma. We talk about these legal battles often, at the victory in Maryland, because we went there and we testified. They happen all in the federal courts. They happen across the states as well. But for us to do this pro-life work, for us to do all of the constitutional law work we do, and to bring you this broadcast as well, it takes your support. We can't do it without you. We wouldn't be on the air without you. We wouldn't have lawyers across the country without you, or a government affairs team on Capitol Hill without you. If you can right now, support the work of the ACLJ. It's a tax-deductible donation. Donate online at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The theme of the show today, and we're live, has been defund Planned Parenthood, not the police. We talked a lot about the police. We've announced this breaking news about the new executive order President Trump's going to sign. We talked about that with Harry, about some police reforms, not defunding the police, but some reforms and some new pilot programs, which I think are great to do new, have new ideas so that there's not another George Floyd. Who was murdered. And so these pilot programs where social workers work with police in specific communities, and to see if that helps build better ties with the community, and also new training for police officers, and make sure that this kind of lethal force that should only be used when a police officer's life is in jeopardy. I mean, it's just outrageous. So the training manuals need to be redone. So we talked about that. But I want to get back to the life issue too, because it's so important, because so many die because of abortion. So many children, so many black children. I mean, just think about that, folks. It is just, I've got to repeat it because it's so shocking. In the United States, the abortion rate for black women who make up just about the black community makes up about 12% of the population, 12.7, almost 13% of the population in the U.S. Okay, that's the entire black population in the U.S., about almost 13% of the U.S. population. But yet, in the United States, the abortion rate for black women is almost five times that for white women. And that was reported by Planned Parenthood's Guttmacher Institute. I want to go to the phones, then I want to get CeCe Howell brought into the conversation, also a senior attorney, works a lot on the life issue as well with us. Jerry calling in from Michigan on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, Jordan. I want to thank you for your tenacity and your work to protect the unborn. I don't understand, how did Planned Parenthood ever become funded with taxpayer money in the first place?
So I want to start with CeCe, because I want to do a little history here, CeCe. We did a little bit, but you've really been an expert on this, about who Planned Parenthood is and kind of how sick it is that, and I said this once, I want to say it again, that the group who wants to defund the police would oppose us, for the most part, in defunding Planned Parenthood, even though they are responsible for many more hundreds of thousands of black children dying, and then the smaller numbers in the black community's population than any police brutality. That's not to say that we shouldn't address police brutality. We should address both. But this idea goes way back to Margaret Sanger, CC, and even the KKK.
Yeah, so it's amazing to me that Planned Parenthood really still worships their founder, Margaret Sanger, because she is just as evil can come. You know, she believed in eugenics, which basically is the thought that to improve genetic quality of the population, you must exterminate people and groups judged inferior. And of course, we know that she, you know, did that judging based on people's skin color, their ethnic heritage, their financial position or intellect. And she determined who was unfit. And then you couple that with her belief in the Malthusian theory, which was that population increases faster than resources. Therefore, you know, that population has to be controlled by disease, contraception, infanticide, famine, or war. So you see how this dislike for people of color, people that she deemed inferior, turns into we must absolutely get rid of them. And as you've discussed already, that, you know, five times the amount of black people get abortions over white women, and that Planned Parenthood targets the minority groups, placing 79% of their abortion facilities within walking distance. So it is just amazing that we talk about Black Lives Matter. You know, life is precious. We totally believe that, but it is an absolute sham to believe that Planned Parenthood believes that, because they do not.
And Than, just to get back to this initial idea, because there's been some federal defunding of Planned Parenthood through Title X. We can explain that to people what that is. By the Trump administration, we supported that with massive petitions, with comments. But just tell people, I mean, they get hundreds of millions of dollars from our federal taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, almost $617 million, Jordan. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. And unfortunately, the biggest donor to it is the American taxpayer. And that's happened even though the Hyde Amendment has been on the books for several decades. Jordan, the Hyde Amendment prohibits on the discretionary side of the ledger those dollars being used directly for abortion. But as you point out, Planned Parenthood has been very creative to get their hands on those dollars, tens of millions of dollars, until the Trump administration has come along and properly applied the statute as it was written and denied them those dollars. But Jordan, even so, on the mandatory side of the ledger, through the Medicaid program, Planned Parenthood continues to get more than $400 million of reimbursements. That's a change that has to happen. And just to Jerry's point, the caller's point, it just goes to show the lengths to which Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry as a whole has gotten their tentacles into all aspects of the federal government. Look, if you're a $2.2 billion industry that is targeting minority communities, the last thing that you should do, Jordan, is get taxpayer dollars. Fortunately, this administration is now implementing the Hyde Amendment and the Title X program as Congress wrote it. It's time for Congress to come back to the table and defund them on the mandatory side of the ledger. Jordan, our listeners probably remember they were within one vote prior. It's time for them to come back and do the minority community right by finishing that job.
Yeah, I mean, what this, Than, you know, it all started with this idea of family planning. It became a popular idea and a kind of social planning. And Harry, this is how the funding got into the federal levels. And you would have thought that even at a time after we defeated the Nazis and the way they systematically killed people because of their religion or race or ethnicity, sexuality, political beliefs, the list goes on, but committed genocide at a mass level, that groups like Planned Parenthood would still be proud of the fact that they put 79% of their abortion clinics, Harry, in minority neighborhoods where people can walk to them, and that in the minority community, and specifically the African American community, that five times more African American babies are dying at the hands of abortionists at Planned Parenthood than white babies.
I think you're precisely correct. Progressives got their tentacles into government in the 1930s. Unfortunately, they have never left. They have tied themselves very tightly to left-wing, progressive, mostly Democratic politicians for for a very long time. And this history of eugenics is very, very appalling, and it includes large numbers of academics. So in 1925, at the International Birth Control Gathering in New York City, a speaker warned of the menace posed by the black and yellow peril. The man was not a Nazi or a Klansman. He was Dr. Knopf, a member of Margaret Sanger's American Birth Control League, which with other groups eventually formed Planned Parenthood. So you have Harvard graduates, you have professors, you have academics. At one point, you even had Christian leaders who talked about being scientific, being humanitarian, purifying the human race, purifying America's breeding stock, and purging America of bad strains. Now it comes down to one thing, though, and one thing only: profits, increasing return on investment, and increasing the level of marketing, particularly in minority communities, by Planned Parenthood. And guess what? Planned Parenthood rewards politicians who support government funding for abortion by giving them campaign dollars so they can run again. And so the Democratic Party, by and large, is now being held captive by the Planned Parenthood company throughout the United States. And so when you think about Democrats, increasingly you should think about this fact. Democrats are really an adjunct for Planned Parenthood and their tentacles in terms of government and bad policy.
All right, we come back. I'm going to share with you yet another ACLJ victory. We helped draft the Ohio Heartbeat Protection Act. And just like we were talking about in Oklahoma, we helped draft this. I've got a blog up at ACLJ.org about that. Now we are going to be filing a brief in support of two state senators in Ohio because, of course, just like we predict that the Oklahoma law we helped draft and sign, get signed by the governor and get into law, pro-life victory, will be challenged in court. The Ohio law is already being challenged in court, so we not only helped draft it, but we're now also defending it in court, and so that's important. But this is one we haven't talked about yet on air. We're going to do that when we come back from the break. We're also going to play some sound from Mike Flynn's trial, which is really Judge Sullivan's trial, from Mike Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, who's done an excellent job representing Mike Flynn throughout this mess of a legal issue. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate online right now.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to get right back to the life issue today, and we're going to take your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. Cheryl and Judy, we'll get to you first. But I do want to play, because the oral argument is over in, it's not really the Mike Flynn case, but of course it is about Mike Flynn. It's Judge Sullivan who's up before the Court of Appeals in this writ of mandamus. The oral argument was today. We're going to fully analyze it for you on Monday. And the court is going to have to act pretty quickly in these kind of, and they do act pretty quickly in these kind of decisions. They kind of instruct the judge about what to do next. So is he going to be allowed to bring in a defense counsel, this former retired judge that he wants to do, to basically come in as a special prosecutor to prosecute Mike Flynn as early as next week in Judge Sullivan's district courtroom? So that was what was at issue today. Here's just a little bit of Mike Flynn's attorney. She's been doing a great job, Sydney Powell. And just so that you kind of get a sense of it, I'm sure you'll hear some about it over the weekend. And then we're going to fully analyze it with my dad when he's back in the studio with us on Monday. Here's Sydney Powell today in the Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., Byte 13.
If Judge Sullivan had denied the motion to dismiss on this record, we would be entitled to mandamus right now. To drag this out another 6 months, I mean, it won't just be a hearing on July 16th. It'll go beyond that. I think it's clear from the amicus position now that they want to take General Flynn to sentencing as soon as possible and impose upon him the maximum possible sentence. And to make us go through that process when the ultimate result has to be the grant of the motion to dismiss, the government's just wasting resources out the wazoo pursuing this.
Yeah, so just that is just a piece. I mean, that instead of just getting to the decision here, trying to delay, get to sentencing of Flynn, trying to delay it to another, so where a special prosecutor outside the court system gets brought in at appointed by Judge Sullivan on July 16th, so just about a month away. So this court will have to act pretty quickly on how they're going to instruct Judge Sullivan to respond in this case. We're going to fully analyze it for you on Monday with my dad, Jay Sekulow. Let's get right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with Judy from Wisconsin, been holding on. Judy, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for what you do. My question is, Roe v. Wade was put into quote-unquote law by the Supreme Court. Isn't it unconstitutional, or doesn't it have to be constitutional and a law by having the House and the Senate approve it?
So this is the interesting part. What Roe versus Wade was about, and I'll go to CC and Harry on this, it's CC, it was about the federal right to abortion. It was not about, so like if Roe versus Wade was overturned tomorrow, I don't think it will be, but if it was overturned tomorrow, abortion would not necessarily be illegal in the entire country. Some states would still make abortion legal, and you'd have to have these battles at the state level. The idea here was, is there a federal right somewhere in our Constitution that they found there was this right to privacy that isn't expressly in the Constitution, but is inherently there, if you want to believe their reasoning. And so that because of that, there is basically this broad federal idea, CC, that you have to allow abortion to an extent. You can regulate it differently in different states, but that's what it was about.
Right. So Roe v. Wade, that decision actually is the most probably highly criticized decision that the Supreme Court has made. So it was poorly written. They literally fabricated a right to abortion, which does not exist in the Constitution. You are correct that even if Roe v. Wade, you know, was overturned today, that the states would still have their authority in and say in that issue. But it is not a law. It was a wrongfully decided case. And we've seen the Supreme Court actually take steps backwards from that Roe v. Wade decision when they started saying, you know, you can have informed consent and, you know, waiting periods, and that the state has definitely an interest in preserving life and even the life of an unborn baby. So, you know, Judy was right. It's not a correct decision. It is not law. There is not a right to abortion in the Constitution. It was judicially fabricated. And hopefully we will see a correction.
Yeah, it's kind of like you will not find the separation of church and state in the Constitution. You will never find the right to abortion in the Constitution or its amendments either. There is also, by the way, and Cheryl, we're going to get to your call in a minute. The ACLJ and Harry and Than, this is important too. I'll go to Than first on this, because just like we talked about yesterday with the Oklahoma, we've also been working. We worked with members of the Ohio legislature and two senators specifically on the Ohio Heartbeat Protection Act, SB 23. And what this does, it passed, it's been signed into law, and the ACLJ helped draft it. We have all this up at ACLJ.org. It bans abortions done after the detection of a heartbeat in the baby. It created a civil remedy for post-abortion women, set up a joint legislative committee on adoption, required abortionists to report whether an abortion is done for maternal health reasons or not, established a fund for foster care and adoption initiatives. I know that's near and dear to you, Than, and required written informed consent from women told about their baby's heartbeat. Of course, Ohio abortion is sued in federal court. There was an injunction, but there is a bit of a confusion in that. I encourage people to check that out at ACLJ.org. So we've actually decided, in consultation with the legislative sponsors of SB 23, Than, and its House companion bill, that somebody need to alert the federal district court to its overreach. So on May 6th, we filed on behalf of two members of the Ohio House of Representatives that were sponsored of this bill to not only, again, did we help draft it, now, Than, we're helping to defend it in court.
Absolutely, Jordan. And look, this is a bill that every single person should be able to support. And this is where I think states should be going. Imagine this, Jordan, if a young woman goes into an abortion clinic and does not realize that the baby that is about to undergo an abortion has a heartbeat. What is the case that you could possibly make to not tell that woman about that heartbeat? That's at the core of this bill. And Jordan, if an individual wants to call themselves pro-choice, there is just no rational reason to oppose a bill like this. More states should be doing it. And when they step up to do it, Jordan, we're going to be right there to defend them.
Let me take the final call of the day. Cheryl in Massachusetts. Cheryl, we only got about a minute left, but I appreciate you holding, and I wanted to get you on the air.
No problem. I can cover it in a minute. Longtime listener. Love you guys.
Thank
support you.
You
guys. I'm black. I'm a woman. I have regrettably had more than one abortion. Just wanted to say the numbers are horrible, but I believe you've got to look at the context behind the numbers if we're going to fix this problem. First context, three quick facts. First context is the black family has to be rebuilt. Whenever you have two-thirds of the black babies who are being born out of wedlock, is it any surprise that we'd have such a high abortion rate? That's a disgrace, but we got to figure out how to rebuild the black family, and that's on us in part. Second, you got to provide enough economic opportunity. I mean, I think
Cheryl,
has done a great job.
Cheryl, yeah. I'm just jumping in because we're running out of time, and I wanted to respond to what you said. You know what's interesting, though? Planned Parenthood reported this. Racism, poverty, and lack of access to health care are the typical explanations for the disparities why more black women have abortions than white women. But black women have much higher abortion rates even after you control for income. Moreover, other low-income women have much lower abortion rates. I think it's because Planned Parenthood's targeting the African.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.